fixed to a wagon. So that's a question of whether that's a kli. And the third one is Mas Mishal Evan Shoyes, is a sundial. Is that considered something that is a kli ready or not? As Machlokas Reb Tzadok Matayim and Chachamar Matayim. Mishnah Tes speaks about four things, actually, that Reb Gamliel's Matayim and Chachamar Matayim. And these four things is the kisui of a teni. Teni is like a basket, and the cover, which if technically has a receptacle in it, but is not really used because it's of Balabatim, is that Matayim or not? Toliya Magredois is something that you hang. The Magredois is the type of an iron, like a comb that people use for in a bathhouse. Golme kli matchois is a kli that's made out of metal, but it hasn't yet been shined. They haven't finished it off, so it's a little bit raw. Tavla shenechlekol neshnayim is the last thing, which has been broken into two. If they're equal pieces, there's a machlokes if one's bigger than the other. The bigger one is matame, the small one not. Okay, here we are, Mishnah Yud, Shlosha Dvarim. Again, we're in the Shlosha. That Rav Gamliel's Machmir, Kedivrei Beis Shammai. This is interesting. These last three Mishnahs were all in Maseches Beitza, and they're speaking about Hilchos Yamtiv. There are three things that Rav Gamliel, even though Rav Gamliel himself was a descendant of Beis Hillel, so therefore you would think that he would pass like Beis Hillel, but he, in fact, in these three situations, is Machmir like Beis Shammai. Ein Toim Nesachamin B'Yamtiv L'Shabbos. This is talking about when we talk about what's called an of Tashilin, which is a person is not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare for Shabbos on Yom Tov. But what we do is on Erev Yom Tov, we prepare for Shabbos, and that kind of makes Yom Tov and Shabbos all one big happy family. And then you could afterwards prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Now, there's a machlekes over here whether or not one form of cooking is enough. Let's say he just does a form of bishul. So then, does that help for all the other forms or not? That's a machlekes. Beis Shammai's opinion is it's not. So therefore, doing hatmana, for example, which is a different form of bishul, it's not afia, it's not regular bishul, but it's hatmana schanim, that you can't do if you just did a regular Erev Tavshilin, unless you did hatmana on Erev Shabbos also. So therefore, ein toim nesacham be'erev yomtev l'shabbos, according to Beis Shammai. Ein zoik v'nesa menorah b'yomtev. This is talking about a type of menorah, which is, it comes apart. It's there's a word for it. It's take apartable. I'm sure there's a better word. But now, technically, the Beis Hillel's of the opinion ain't binyan bekelim. So therefore, the fact that you have managed to take it apart doesn't mean that it is when you put it back together. That's called binyan. Beis Shammai is the opinion that it is called binyan because it is. There's a word I can't somethingable. Anyway, whatever it is, ain't oifen piten gritzen alarakikin. Now, according to Beis Shammai, you can't make large rolls on Yom Tov. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but you can't cook too much. Now, you're making these large pizza and gritzen of these large things, and you can't do it because it's extra tircha on Yom Tov for no purpose. But rakikin, you can make small rolls that people eat on Yom Tov like regular. Amar Rav Gamliel, and Rav Gamliel comes to support his opinion, and he says, Mimeim shall base abelo he oifen piten gritzen, ela rakikin. Rav Gamliel says, that's the way we always did it in our family. Now remember that his family goes all the way back to Beis Hillel, so that's very interesting. Amar lo the Chacham said back to him, Manasa le base avicha, what should we do for your father's house? Shoyu machmirin al atzmam, they were for sure machmir on themselves, and makilin al Yisrael, but they let everyone else do it, so they obviously didn't feel that it was halacha. Maybe they wanted to be extra stringent on themselves, but they were mako for other people. They let them make pitin gritzen, which is those larger rolls, and choyri, and even bigger rolls. Now the reason that we say that is because it actually cooks better. So if you want to have really good bread, you have to fill up the oven. So therefore, Beis Hillel is of the opinion that you can in fact cook even larger cakes on Yom Tov in order that whatever you do cook should be tastier. That's the end of Mishnah Yud. Mishnah Yud Aleph says, Afhu Amar Shlosha Dvarim Lahakel. Now we just spoke about three things that Rav Gamliel says Lachumra, but he also said three things Lakula. And what's that? Mechabdim Bein Hamitos. One is allowed to clean between the beds, which means as follows. Back in the day, now this is not so relevant to us today, but back in the day, one wasn't allowed to sweep. The reason was because we're afraid that you're going to even out the ground, because back in the day, the grounds were not, they did not have any type of flooring, and it was just very uneven, and it was raw. So when you sweep, you could actually level it more. So we're afraid that they were going to end up leveling the ground through their sweeping. So therefore, we asked them from sweeping the entire house. The shaila is it usher to sweep just this between the beds? So over here, the chacham asher because they're afraid that you're going to end up sweeping the whole house. So Gamliel's makel, and he says, listen, it's a small area. You don't have to worry about it over there. There's nothing to do. Umanichanes a mugbar biyomtif. Mugbar is something that they would put on the fire in order to create, I guess, ambiance. They had their ambiance they were creating wasn't necessarily just visual, but they created a certain aroma they wanted, and they do it in for the purpose of people to enjoy their meal. So that's called the tzorach echol nefesh. So technically, according to Rav Gamliel, it's going to be mutar on yomtif because the tzorach echol nefesh that we're allowing that you're making this scent. Now the chacham argue because the chacham say that this is not davar shavah l'kol nefesh. The only thing you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov is something that everyone can appreciate. This is really only for the wealthy people, or the fine schmeckers, the mefunakim people that were a little bit more, I don't know how to say mefunakim, istinus, or whatever, how to say that in English, but therefore, the Chum say, no, it's not mutter, and Rav Gamliel is matter. And the last thing is, oisin gedi, mekulas b'leile psachim. This is fascinating. According to Rav Gamliel, what they do is they would take a lamb, and they would roast the lamb on Erev Pesach, just like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Zecher l'Korban Pesach. They did the whole thing. They did mamash like a trial run. And even though Bizman said there's no Beis HaMikdash, no Korban Pesach, but they did it Zecher l'Korban Pesach. Chum actually said that's usser, because the Chum don't want people to think that it looks like we didn't catch him chutz from the Azara, chutz from the Beis HaMikdash. And people might think that it is actually a Korban, which it's not, and that's the way we pask, and that's why we don't eat Tzli on the night of the Seder. Mishnah Yud Beis, the last Mishnah in the third parak, says, we're back to our three things over here. Three things that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is matir, and the Chacham Asir, parasa yotzi b'retzua bein karneha. This is the famous para that of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that went out, it had a retzua, it had a strap between its horns. Well, what the Gemara explains, it doesn't actually mean that it really it was really his. It was really a neighbor's, but he allowed the neighbor to do it, therefore he was responsible for it. And the reason why he allowed it was because he felt that anything that's going to be put there for noi, for the purpose of beautifying it, is not considered to be a masa. It's not considered as the animals working on Shabbos. But the Chacham asa, because they say cows are not used to having anything, like even if it's for beautification purpose, but for the cow, it's considered to be a burden. Now, the next thing it says in the Mishnah is, Ume kardin esa behema biyamtif. Now, he's also of the opinion that one is allowed to comb the animal biyamtif, even though you're going to perhaps cause a wound, because it's a very sharp comb. It's going to scratch the yamtif. I don't know, comb it or scratch it, and it could cause a wound. But because it's davashen miskaven, you're not intending on doing a wound. He holds davashen miskaven is mutter. And the last thing he says is shochekin as a pilpulin berechaim shalahem. One is allowed to grind up the pilpulin, even though their rechaim is very, very heavy and very large, and you're working very hard. Therefore, I would think maybe it's usher that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is matir. Chacham say you have to use a small grinder, and it'll be okay because it's not malacha. It's not Tirch Yisera, but the big one they don't allow. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer. Rabbi Yehuda is of a different opinion. He says, "Ein mekar din es a behema biyamtif." You can't be mekar din, which Rabbi Elazar said was okay. Rather, mipneishu oisachabura aval mekar tzefin. But you could do something else. What's the difference between mekartzefin and mekardrin? Mekartzefin is just made out of a different material. You're using a similar type of comb, but it's made out of wood. Because it's made out of wood, therefore we don't have to worry about it making a chabura, and that will be mutter. Chachamim oimrim, the chacham of the opinion, ein mekardin, the ein mekartzefin. You can't do anything. The chacham say that you can't do mekardin, obviously, because we're afraid of making chabura. Why can't you do mekartzefin if we said that it's wood, and wood doesn't make a chabura? Chacham of the opinion that we're going to make a gzera, that if we allow the wood, we're afraid you'll end up using the metal comb. And that's the way the halach is, like the chachamim, that ein mekardin, the ein mekatzin. That's the end of the third perek, my friends. Now we're going to continue with the fourth parak. The fourth parak is going to speak about Elu Dvarim Shmikule Beishame V'chumre Beishila. That's a aberration to the norm. That's an outlier, because usually we know that Beishame is the one who's Machmir, Beishila is the one who's Meikol. This is the famous Mishnah in the fourth parak of Idias, which is going to list all the cases that Beishame is in fact Meikol and Beishila is Machmir, and the Gemara, the Rishayim in numerous places speak about, you know, what is, if anything, is left out of this list. We will continue with that and more. Beis Hashem, hopefully tomorrow, my dear friends, make it a great day.